Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts, and transform our lives and the world. Amen.
Amen.
So today we conclude the story of the Torah for about the final chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, which concludes the five books, so-called the five books of Moses. For about 4.5 months, we've been since Trinity Sunday, where we read the story of creation, Genesis 1. Today we end this long story of our patriarchs and matriarchs, the liberation of Egypt, the crossing of the desert. And now we just arrive east of the Jordan for the final chapter in the life of Moses. We heard of Moses' life, born in the Nile Valley, rescued from the waters, leading the people out of the slavery of Egypt, his ascent to Mount Sinai, seeing God face to face. And now he is at top of another mountain, Mount Nebo, by the way, sort of the same altitude as Mount Constitution. So you can imagine from up there, where God lets him see all the land. He surveys the land from the north all the way to the south. And then God says to Moses, I have let you see with your own eyes, but you shall not cross over there. Come on, God. With all the work and all the suffering and all the anguish, just stopping short of the goal. Can you imagine that? I'm not going to go over the reasons the Torah gives for Moses being prevented of entering the promised land. That would be another sermon. I'd rather want to invite you to consider this as the perfect end. Yes, Moses' death was fitting, even beautiful. St. Gregory of Nyssa described it this way. Moses' death is recorded to have been even more sublime than his life. He died on a mountain peak and left behind neither trace nor memorial of his earthly burden in life. The impress of beauty was not altered by time, but remained unchangeable in the changeable nature. A Jewish midrash or biblical interpretation described it imaginatively, how three angels prepared Moses' death. It says the midrash, Gabriel arranged the couch. Michael spread a silken cover over it. And Sagziel, I believe that was Moses' guardian angel, put a silken pillow under Moses' head. And at God's command, Moses crossed his hands over his breast and closed his eyes. And God took his soul away with a kiss. Hear that beautiful? God took his soul away with a kiss. What a beautiful story. For many of us, this story is a misfortune, a shame. He did not get to cross into the promised land. But I think we don't get it. Moses dies, today's reading tells us, full eyesight and with full vigor. Or as the Message Bible paraphrases it, his eyesight was sharp and he still walked with a spring in his step. Moses was fully alive. He was enlightened. His eyes were bright and open. I pray myself that I may welcome the angel of my death in this way. And also, Moses dies at 120 years old. Keep in mind that 40 is a symbolic length of time of initiation, the time it takes for a deep spiritual transformation. Remember the 40 days of Noah and the flood, the 40 years of the Exodus, the 40 days of Moses and Sinai, the 40 days of Elijah in the desert, the 40 days of Jesus in the desert. And Moses dies 40 times 3. 120 years. In a little literal sense, he did not cross into the promised land, but in a spiritual sense, he was already there. Moses was a dreamer. He dreamed of leading his people into the promised land, and his dream was fulfilled, and he was happy. As Bishop Michael Curry said in his new book that we're studying here at Emmanuel, The Way of Love, dreaming, impractical, foolish, impossible dreaming, gave us the very real civil rights movement. Dreaming gave us South Africa freed from apartheid. Dreaming, as I see it, has saved me and many others from turning to despair and destruction in the darkest days when evil seems to be winning. Dream are love's visions, the boundless faith that the world can be remade to look more like what God hoped for in his creation. Bishop Curry continues saying, dreaming is powerful stuff. The language of dreaming in the Bible seems to come most strongly into play when people find themselves at the margins, searching for dream, for strength, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. This holding on to a dream has been exemplified yesterday at our diocese. We're having our diocesan convention. And 19 years ago, there was a resolution that was presented titled, A Call for Dismantling Racism and White Privilege in the Life of the Church and the Region. Fierce debate ensued on the floor of convention. At the end, the author of the resolution, Paula Harris White, stated, if this body is not really ready to deal with the issue of racism in an open, honest, and graceful way, perhaps we're not ready to deal with a resolution at all. The motion was tabled, promising to bring it up in another convention, and it was never brought up. The diocese subsequently made changes that further isolated and disenfranchised Episcopalians of color. But this year, a group called the Circles of Color Ethnic Ministries, the grassroots network of the diocese, presented six resolutions that spoke truth about the nature of diocesan convention organizations, the racism in our church, and to take meaningful first steps toward reconciliation and authentic relationships that are foundational to realizing the beloved community. I confess I was extremely nervous about all this. I was not knowing what's going to happen in convention, what words would come out. But alas, the six motions were passed with ample majorities. Me and many others last evening were in tears for what had just happened. I would like to end with another Moses story of our time and allow his words to come forth. I believe you will recognize immediately his voice.
To say the threats, I talk about the threats that were out. Yeah. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Of course. That was the voice of Martin Luther King Jr., spoken at Memphis on April 3rd, 1968. On the following day, April 4th, his life was cut down by an assassin's bullet. It seems he didn't get there, but he saw. And his people saw it with him. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the hand of Moses, your servant, you led your people out of slavery and made them free at last. Grant that your church, following the example of your prophets, Moses, Martin Luther King, and so many others, may resist oppression in the name of your love and may strive to secure for all your children the blessed liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.